What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, March 1st, 2018, start of a brand new month. And, of course, March is named for the god of war, Mar. And historically, wars have started in the month of March. There are actually very few exceptions to that. It was a Roman tradition. Wars would start in the month of March, the Ides of March, so forth and so on. And it does look like we're gearing up for a major war sometime in the next 30 days. Everybody's all suited up. They've got the uniforms on. They've got all the kit. They're just waiting for the starting flag. All right, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, and Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, and ready to answer the phone when you call on in. Now, yesterday I started out the show with a quote, and I got some positive response to that. I'm going to do it again today, not because this is going to become a new feature of the show, but for those of you who visit my website, you know that I have this automated quote system. I have a master file of all these quotes, and every night during the chores run on the server, it will choose a new thought for the day. And sometimes it is almost eerie how appropriate these quotes can be. Today is a good example, and that's why I want to read this one for you. And it goes, "I know the American people are much attached to their government. I know they would suffer much for its sake. I know they would endure evils long and patiently before they would ever think of exchanging it for another. Yet notwithstanding all this, if the laws be continually despised and disregarded, if their rights to be secure in their persons and property are held by no better tenure than the caprice of a mob, the alienation of their affections from the government is the natural consequence, and to that, sooner or later, it must come." And that is Abraham Lincoln. And it does seem like he absolutely was correct. The government has abused our rights, and Americans are not in love with their government anymore, nor should they be. All right, let's get back into Parkland and how everybody is still trying to exploit this tragedy for their own ends. And the gun grabbers are out there just desperate to try and get a groundswell of support for a gun ban. And they're just being stupid out there. Story that came out of immediatesafety.org. And they're talking about a new trend is sweeping the nation. It's called red lighting. Activists are changing the normal white porch light bulbs with special red bulbs, letting the world know this is a gun-free home. Okay, so you got that, criminals? You rapists, you muggers, you burglars, you thieves, you listening? Go to the home with the red light on. They don't have guns. You can do whatever you want. Or alternatively, it's a whorehouse. But either way, you're going to have a good time. I mean, talk about a ridiculous idea. Advertising that your home lacks any defenses. Obviously, this was not thought all the way through. When I was growing up, all the porch lights were yellow anyway. Bug lights. Now, apparently, CNN put their foot on it again. They're out there with an AR-15 trying to convince Americans it's a dangerous weapon. It so serves no purpose that any law-abiding citizen would want. And they started claiming that they were going to show this gun on full semi-automatic mode. And, of course, gun experts immediately said, this is ridiculous. There is no such thing as a full semi-automatic when describing an AR-15. He just wanted to get that word full in there to sell that whole idea. Remember not too long ago, CNN's Gary Tuchman intentionally embellished the recoil of an AR-15 to make the rifle appear uncontrollable and dangerous. He was out there saying, see, you can't really do anything with it. It's just there for killing people. Actually, I've target shot with an AR-15. Long, long time ago, same time I was into my black powder. Used to go shooting with this ex-Marine, and he had a heck of a gun collection. And we'd put up the paper, and we'd spend all day punching holes in it, which is enjoyable. It's fun. By the way, I actually got an email from somebody who is into archery, bow and arrow, and I'm sympathetic to that because I was on my college archery team. And apparently, there are now restrictions on obtaining bows and arrows. Next, it'll be knives. Next, it'll be Nerf guns. Anyway, a little bit more about that incident that happened yesterday about this supposedly mentally unstable teacher who barricaded himself in a classroom and fired a shot through the window. And it's just too much of a coincidence to believe in. Just as Trump suggests arming teachers, the gun grabbers get a lucky break and have a teacher go postal. I don't buy it. And as it turns out, we shouldn't, because apparently this guy is a registered Democrat and he's basically donates to gun control causes. We don't even know if that was really his gun or somebody just gave him the gun and said, we need a teacher to go on out and end this arming the teacher nonsense. But it is too much of a coincidence. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. But basically, what we have here, let's see, there it is. Okay. Earlier today, there was a bomb threat reported at a high school in Montgomery County, Albert Einstein High School. And apparently one of the parents of the children there is a reader of this site because I got the emails, the emergency emails forwarded to me, and it got on there. And they basically did the school on lockdown. Somebody called in, said there was an explosive on the premises. They did a search. Nothing was found. The kids have now been allowed to go home. But again, just like this teacher who fired a gun in a classroom, this bomb threat attacks another alternative suggestion to ban all the guns, and that is the suggestion to make schools safer. See, you can't make the schools safe. You're just going to – that's what the gun grabbers are trying to push. A gun ban is the only workable solution, which ignores the history showing gun bans have never worked. This is all just too cute. It's all way too cute. I'm not buying any of this stuff. Okay, now – here's the reality. Gun grabbers like to go on out and say, look, you don't need a gun. You got the police. The police will protect you. Well, Florida shows that they don't. You had these four sheriff's deputies. One was outside the school from the very start. The other showed up while the shooting was going on. What did they do? Nothing. They all stayed outside the school, and all those kids got shot. Not a single one of these cops, a single one of these deputy sheriffs, armed with deadly weapons and trained, supposedly, for such a scenario, entered the school to confront the shooter. Now, you let that think in for a moment. And then you think in about all these other mass shootings where the police didn't go on in until it was all over. Now, either that's an argument to say that, yes, these were staged false flag incidents and they wanted to maximize the body count for shock value. But the reality is, in the good old days of radio scanners, and I had one, police radio was still unencrypted. And I used to sit there at night and I would listen to the police there in North Hollywood respond to the scene of a crime where the criminal was on the premises. And you would just hear them sit and say, do you think the guy's left yet? Contrary to what you see on movies and TVs, the cops do not crash through the door and apprehend the criminal in the process of committing the crime. They show up after it's all over. The only ones there when the crime is being committed is the perpetrator and the victim. And the only way to thwart the crime is that the victim have arms equal, if not superior, to those of the perpetrator. That is the only workable solution. Now, a little clarification. One of the other stories that emerged earlier this week was how the police would not allow the medics into the school. And the medics are furious because the normal procedure in a mass casualty event is you accept the risk, something is going on, you go on in and you get to those patients who are most badly wounded, you stop the bleeding, you stop them from bleeding out. And the medics have gone public saying they weren't allowed in and that probably many of those 17 who died did not need to. Well, there's been a clarification. It wasn't the police who didn't let the medics into the school. It was the Broward County deputy sheriffs. Now, one of the survivors of the shooting, Kyle Kashuv, told Fox News that he believes Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel absolutely needs to resign. Amid reports, the deputy assigned to the school failed to act during the event. I don't know why he still has a job. He should have been fired. Now, David Hogg is still, despite being discredited and revealed as a crisis actor, he's still getting a lot of airtime on CNN. He's the darling of CNN, and there was an interview came on out about how angry he is that despite his best efforts, that gun sales are increasing. Well, come on, Dave. Every time the gun grabbers go on a rampage, gun sales go through the roof. It happens every single time. And anybody who understands what's going on knows why this is so. Now, the reality is Nicholas Cruz, ideal patsy. This guy was just telegraphing. I'm psychotic. I'm a school shooter. He couldn't have been more obvious if he'd taken out full page ads in the local newspapers. And who knows? Maybe this was all engineered for him. Remember all the phony Oswalds that showed up before the assassination of John F. Kennedy? We don't know how much of these Facebook posts or tweets or Twitters are really originated with Nicholas Cruz. Now, here's an interesting development. Somebody tried to write on in and say that this Parkland High School appeared to be a military school. No, it isn't. It's an ordinary high school. But like many ordinary high schools across the country, it has a junior ROTC chapter, the Reserve Officer Training Corps. It's a sort of a high school version of the same program they have in college. And they teach these kids leadership, cooperation, and they teach them how to shoot. Now, three of the cadets in the school's junior ROTC were killed by the shooting. It turns out Nicholas Cruz had also been a member of the junior ROTC cadet. Apparently, that's where he was taught to shoot. They used little air guns, air pellet guns. And it's interesting because I recall back in the 1970s when there was a series of unexplained shootings and they blamed Marine training. That was the reason. The Marines just taught these kids to kill. Now, I want to do a little flashback here as we continue to see all this stuff coming on out about grabbing the guns, about bad Russia, about bad North Korea, about bad China and all the rest of it. I want to remind everybody, when it comes to fake news, most of it's coming, all of it's coming from the government. And back in 2013, the U.S. government repealed the legal ban on propagandizing U.S. citizens and just unleashed a tsunami of government-made news to Americans. There are military intelligence people who work right in the CNN newsroom. That's how tightly connected they are. Now, Trump has basically shot down Steve Scalise's concealed carry reciprocity bill. And Trump says he likes the bill, but he says it's not going to pass in the current environment, and I fear that he's probably right about that. But Scalise was out there talking about surviving a shooting, because obviously he did. And he said, in his case, the law enforcement reacted instantaneously. That if they'd waited for 17 minutes the way the deputies down in Florida did, he wouldn't be with us. Now, Trump has come on out with an idea saying that when dealing with the mentally ill, Trump says government should take the guns first and then go through the due process second. Now, it sounds like a kind of common sense solution that if you suspect somebody is mentally ill, you should disarm them and then go back and double check to make sure you did the right thing and you're still safe if the person really is mentally ill. The only problem I have with that, of course, is the abuse of the term mentally ill. Right now in our present psychiatric industry, if you will, wanting to eat safe, healthy, natural food is considered a mental illness. And I don't want to have guns taken away from people just because they avoid the Big Mac sandwiches. So we need a clear definition of what represents a person who is danger to themselves or to others. And I would put on that list anybody who is on these dangerous prescription psychiatric medications. And for their own safety, yeah, I think it's a good idea to disarm them. I mean, the family that this Nicholas Cruz was living with did take his guns away and lock them up. Unfortunately, he had a key to the gun cabinet. But while it sounds like it's a good idea and it sounds wise and prudent, the potential for the abuse of who is mentally ill is very real. I mean, we've had people already saying that anybody who doesn't believe the government's story about anything obviously is mentally ill. It's an old holdover from the Soviet Union. And so they could be laying the groundwork for anybody who doesn't 100% agree with the government gets disarmed. So it's not as good an idea as you might want to think at first. And a lot of people are wondering if Trump is really as pro-gun as he claimed to be during the campaign, because he's caving in on a lot of the issues the gun grabbers want. All right, getting on over into domestic political corruption. As you know, Nunes memo exposed this huge scandal of how the FBI and Department of Justice obtained a visa warrant against Page. And the FBI used the fake news Fusion GPS Russian dossier as their evidence to obtain the warrant. Now, Democrats have come out with their own memo, led by Adam Schiff, trying to knock that down, claiming that the dossier was corroborated by multiple sources. But when former FBI Director James Comey briefed President-elect Trump about the dossier last January, he described it as salacious and unverified. And that means the FBI knew it was a hoax when they took it to the FISA court. Now, a lot of people are trying to take the heat off this investigation, not just to save the FBI and Department of Justice. They don't want Americans taking a close look at that FISA court and how it is used to bypass our Fourth Amendment protections to our right to privacy. Now, as you know, hope is gone from the White House, and by that I mean Hope Hicks, the former director of communications, and apparently when she was testifying before a congressional committee, she admitted to telling small white lies, fibs, on the behalf of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump got very angry with that, and I can understand why, because everybody's trying to maintain credibility. Trump is doing it better than Adam Schiff and the Democrats. But still, in all, the Democrats and the media seize on every little thing to attack him. And Hope Hicks handed the media a bit of ammunition that they could use against him. Oh, what else did she lie about? And so that was why she resigned or was forced to resign. I keep hearing stories about the conditions inside the White House right now are so tense. There's so much politics going on. Everybody's vying for promotions or trying to get their competition or their opponents, their ideological opponents out. Must be a terrible, terrible place to work. Now, as you know, the media has been obsessing over the fact that Jared Kushner's security clearance has been ratcheted down one notch, and he's no longer allowed to see top secret information. But Hillary Clinton still has her top secret clearance, even though she no longer works for the government at all. And after the FBI email probe admitted that she was being reckless with government secrets. Why does she still have a top secret clearance? She shouldn't have. That's not the rules. I went through the process myself way, way back when I worked for NASA. You get the clearance when you're on a project where it's required. And when you finish that job, the clearance goes away. You return all your materials. That's how it normally works. You don't get a top secret clearance as a lifetime achievement award. All right, we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Corp corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And if you would like to help keep Republic Broadcasting Network on the air, and we really do need it, this we're not kidding about this. The postal address to send a check or money order is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number, if you want to call on in and pledge to be a recurring subscriber, is 800-724-2719, extension 03. Okay, now... Very interesting development. As you know, one of the big stinks that came out of the Hillary Clinton private email server scandal was the realization that a lot of these officials, in order to evade public records laws, were conducting much of their business using aliases so that those particular emails wouldn't be captured and preserved in accordance with the laws that say all official emails must be kept and stored and made available to those who have a need to see them. Well, apparently the Department of Justice is now saying that former Attorney General Loretta Lynch used a fake name to conduct official Department of Justice business in agency emails obtained by Judicial Watch. Now, as the nation's chief law enforcement officer, Lynch, who was Obama's second attorney general, skirted public records laws by using the alias Elizabeth Carlisle in emails she sent from her official Department of Justice account. In the records provided to Judicial Watch, the Department of Justice explains it as necessary to protect her security and privacy and enable her to conduct department business efficiently via email. You're not supposed to protect her privacy. She's a public official. There is no privacy. That's what the public records laws are all about. Transparency. And of course, this should start people wondering what other, how many other government officials are using fake names to avoid public records laws or Freedom of Information Act requests. You know, send me all the files from Loretta Lynch here. If you don't mention this Elizabeth Carlisle, those files are not included in the Freedom of Information Act requests. Apparently, besides Lynch, Judicial Watch has discovered the use of aliases among government officials, such as at the Environmental Protection Agency. Obama's EPA administrator, Lisa Jackson, used the alias Richard Windsor. They're not playing by the rules over there. Not at all. Now, Hillary Clinton is back out in the public there. She's screaming, the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. The Russians stole the election from me in 2016, and they're going to be stealing the election away from the Democrats here in November. And she's out there screaming, Donald Trump has surrendered to the Russians, and that proves he was in collusion with them. I do wish she'd shut her yap, because she's becoming an embarrassment, not just to the Democratic Party, but to the American people as a whole. I'm embarrassed to be from the same country as that woman. Now, here's an interesting little article. It's from Russia Insider. It's written by James Howard Kunstler. It's titled America's Descending into a Dangerous Psychosis. And he's basically commenting on how this obsessive focus on Russia borders on mental illness. Oh, so take all their guns away. And he's saying, forget about sharks. In their Valentine's Day editorial, Why Does Trump Ignore Top Officials' Warnings on Russia? The New York Times jumped several blue whales, a cruise ship, a subtropical archipelago, a giant vortex of plastic bottles, and the Sports Illustrated swimsuit shoot. And basically says that, yes, despite there being absolutely no evidence of interference with the 2016 election, certainly by Russia, we know there was interference by Israel and by the Democrats, but none by Russia that they can prove. That's still pushing that as hard as they can. And it's bordering on paranoia, or you're basically looking at part of the propaganda that is leading us to an eventual conflict with Russia. And that is already getting problematic. Remember Jake Tapper? When he was, when Donald Trump during the campaign came out and said, we've discovered we've been bugged, we're being spied on. And Jake Tapper, along with pretty much the rest of the media, just said, oh, come on, how ridiculous can you be? The idea that a candidate would be spied on, that is, well, you know, Tapper still owes Trump a huge apology. And yes, as we learned in Watergate, candidates are spied on. And we now know it happened to Donald Trump. And they used that dodgy Russian dossier to trick the FISA court into issuing a warrant to make it look like it was quasi-legal. But that all happened after Trump came out with his accusations. They got the warrant after they started the bugging. They were just bugging like crazy, and then Trump started calling attention, and somebody said, we'd better get a warrant to make it all look legal. We're going to take a break here. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors. Join us on the air, 800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we've got a phone call. Mike in Kentucky, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Just not sure how I ran across him, but the Kevin Shipp videos, I don't know if you've seen any of his presentations. He claims to have pretty good proof that he actually was, unlike some. Claimed to be an ex-CIA guy, and I don't know how you can do that. I've ran into people over the years that claim to be ex-NSA or whatever, but I didn't know if you'd ever thought about interviewing him or if you've seen any of his materials, Kevin Shipp.
Okay, what was the name again?
S-H-I-P, as in a ship in the night. Kevin.
Okay.
Shipp. He's ex-CIA. His main topics are the shadow government, deep state, you know, and the difference between the two. He goes through some of the history of the how the CIA and the NSA were created by executive orders, and there's no real congressional oversight for any of it. And of course, like
well,
there's
supposed to be that. That's what the House Intelligence Subcommittee is for. There's supposed to be oversight of what the agencies are doing. Of course, we know it's all a joke. The primary reason the CIA got into running drugs is they wanted a source of revenue where they didn't have to go to the Congress and ask for an appropriation, because then Congress would say, well, what are you going to spend the money on? And so the CIA has been involved in drug running at least as far back as Vietnam, when the French were forced to leave Vietnam. Now, remember the movie The French Connection? That was the source of the French Connection, was Vietnam. And so when France left and the U.S. went on in, the CIA took over control of that flow of Kunsa's heroin and started smuggling it back to the United States inside the body bags of our Vietnam dead. And Hawaii was the transship point because they didn't have aircraft that could cross the entire Pacific in a single flight. And that drug money kind of corrupted our local politics, and we feel the effects to the very, very day. But as far as it being a deep state or shadow state, well, we've kind of dragged them out of the shadows, and they're not looking very deep. It's kind of in your face right now what's really going on, and I think that's a good thing.
I think you're talking about Operation Scatback. I like Air America gets into that a little bit, and
yes.
Some other, I guess, contractors have come forward, like Terry Reed, I think is his name,
yes,
with the book Compromise. That's what Kevin Shipp points out, is that there's a lot of cross-party cooperation here. But, you know, Bush, Clinton, Arkansas, Iran-Contra, and, you know, as a prime example there. But
yes.
I didn't know if you'd ever run across it. See, he's pretty long-winded, you know. You have to watch about 2 hours of it to get it all, but... And then he says there's more, but of course, obviously, he's like a lot of these guys. He's kind of selling a book a little bit, mentioned his book a few times, but and how much trouble he had getting it published, and the kind of risks he's taken by coming forward. I mean, he's been doing this for about 3 or 4 years and still above room temperature, so I just didn't know if you'd run across that. I think that's true, though. They only get a warrant when they want to. When they're worried about their pension or going to jail, you know, they go get these warrants after the fact.
Yes.
And they do all kinds of whatever, research or whatever they can call it besides, you know, an investigation or a formal operation. And so, like, as depicted in the movie Snowden, if you've got to see that, he gets a peek at X key score, basically Google, for any individual that graphs out and sweeps up all the data that they've got on any individual and their device fingerprints for anybody and anybody that's associated with them. Of course, this was commercially marketed under the Hancock software that AT&T has openly been marketing since about 2003. I think that this sort of stuff goes way, way back beyond the Patriot Act, from talking with engineers that we're working on tracking these cell phones way back in the early 90s, in the middle of nowhere, where there's, you know, very few cell towers.
It goes back all the way to the 1980s and something called Echelon.
And
what they did back then was these five nations got together and used their technology to intercept the communications of each other's citizens. Then they would trade the information so that technically they were not in violation of laws that said that you're not allowed to just surveil and spy on our citizens. And it was a bit of a dodge. But they developed a lot of technology to basically grab telephone communications, right off the satellite feeds, right out of the air. When we first moved here on Oahu, there was this gigantic antenna array. All in a circle up in the middle of the island. It's been torn down now, and they've put the NSA data center there where Snowden actually worked is now located on that same piece of ground.
Booz Allen, I think, is who he worked for. But, the national – there's overlapping agencies, too. Besides the NSA, there's National Reconnaissance Office and the geospatial people, and they all have satellite assets. If you look in after sunset or before sunrise, you can see a lot of these in polar orbits going by in like
yes.
clusters of two or three, one, and then a few minutes later there comes another one, and they're in a polar orbit, like a very high angle orbit, almost either coming from the extreme northwest or the extreme southwest, I think, is the way it goes. They kind of cross each other as they go over the the middle latitudes. But that movie Enemy of the State makes reference to a lot of that. Came out in 1998, but one thing that they don't, I haven't even hardly seen William Binney or anybody talk about, the concept that they're able to use these devices when they're off. You know, that's CBS the other morning, I think it was Tuesday morning this week, you know, they
you're talking about our cell phones and our tablets and so forth.
Oh, exactly. Microphones are in devices you think are off, but they may not be, and that's what CBS brought up this week, and to which I said, duh. I mean, they act like it's this new discovery they just made that some of the apps that you have on your phone may be listening to you when you least expect it and are for serving you up advertisement based on what you talk about when you think the phone is off. And I've been blowing a whistle on that for 20 years and people wouldn't listen to it. Phone technicians. What the thing about the Echelon system, in 2001, before September 11th, the European Union issued a report on that in which they said, well, we don't think they're doing industrial espionage. They basically said, you know, they didn't care about anybody's individual privacy. What they were worried about was industrial secrets being stolen. At least that's
yes.
the gist I got up. And that was, of course, kind of forgotten about because of September 11th, I think. But yeah.
Well, they had grounds. They had grounds for that concern because there was a big scandal when Claire and I were living in Washington State. It was a big stink where there's this organization called the Asia Pacific Economic Conference, and every couple of years they'll all get together, and it changes every year. They've had one here in Honolulu, and they had one in Seattle just about the time we first moved up there. And there was a big stink because it came on out that U.S. government agents were spying on conference attendees, breaking into their computers and stealing business secrets to get to Bill Clinton's cronies. So Bill Clinton's cronies would go into these meetings to bid on a contract, knowing what the other people were planning on bidding. And so they would win all these contracts. And it's very underhanded. And so, yeah, it sort of sent a signal to the rest of the world that America's spy agencies are actually working in industrial espionage for the benefit of favored politically connected corporations.
I've heard you point this out, and, of course, William Binney pointing it out as well. A lot of this stuff is horrible for network security. Every one of these secret splitters, supposedly, they have splitters that can go, and I've talked to fiber optic technicians about it, and I can't get nail them down, about how many times the signal can be split. And, you know, once it gets split off of, you know, AT&T or Quest or some, you know, central office feed, how many times can that fiber optics be split? And it's, you get these vague answers like, well, it depends on the power of the card. And they usually shut up when I say, what about backhauling signals? And once you split this off into the intelligence community's network, can they backhaul signals and get back into the network? And they usually hush at that point. They don't want to talk about the security issues there that they've let who knows how many spooks and ghosts into the machine by splitting off these feeds into the wild west of the intelligence community. One of the things that Kevin Shipp points out is once you join like the NSA or the CIA, you waive your rights to trial by jury. And I often thought about that. How can that be possible, you know, that there's not even, you know, a military jury, or they have secret trials for people that go off the ranch. In that TV show Person of Interest, you know, one of these guys gets discovered, as they say, behind enemy lines. They just put a bag over his head and shove him in a limousine, and he's gone. As one NSA guy or claimed to be NSA, we used to work at the Pentagon, says he saw people summarily executed because they were behind in an area of the Pentagon they weren't supposed to be, and they just shot them. And you never hear about that sort of stuff, you know, somebody being executed extrajudicially. I'm sure if it happens, they're just not.
You know, I think their families would like kick up a huge stink. Anyway, Mike, thanks an awful lot.
Right.
We're
going
to let you go. The lines are loading up, and we're going to switch over to Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, what's on my mind is the Putin Sarmat missile. What do you think of that, huh, now?
Huh? Yeah, well. Well, you know, I've been telling you for a while that Russia was developing these new maneuverable warheads, and it looks like now they're deployed and in service.
Now, Mike, you know a lot about the hypersonic glide vehicles. Now, is that once that goes up into the atmosphere, does that hypersonic glide vehicle have all those warheads on it? They're not individual hypersonic glide vehicles, are they, the warheads themselves?
No, they're reentry vehicles. They're conical shaped. They're probably not all that different from the ones currently in use. They're cone shaped, so they'll travel through the atmosphere. They're actually made out of a different isotope of uranium and they actually add to the yield of the weapon. Plus, the metal itself is very resistant to heat.
And I want to talk about a few, if you have, before you go to, there's a system called Dagger. They're asking people to send in names for certain weapon systems, but there's one called Dagger, and I saw a video clip of a MiG-31 with a test dropping this thing, and it's supposed to be hypersonic. Something like, remember when Russia and India, they built that P-800 Onyx anti-ship missile, and then I think November or December, didn't they test one? They dropped it off of a plane. It was SU-30, I think they dropped it to test it. But, Mike, did you hear about the cruise missile that they're working on?
Yes.
That has a miniature nuclear a reactor on it, like a energy source? Now, those cruise missiles would only be obviously fitted with, like, a tactical nuclear warhead, right? I mean, of course, I can't see that being used, like, you know, against, like, terrorists, you know, against into a building, you know?
No, that sounds like a rather expensive strategic weapon. It doesn't strike me as being tactical. And my understanding about it is that it and the underwater drone are pretty much autonomous. And once they're launched, they're fire and forget weapons is basically what it is. The nuclear reactor on board makes sense to power the propulsion system. And that tells me that the one drawback of this Russian drone is it's probably traveling very, very slowly. Although there was, back in the 1950s, an attempt to create a rocket engine using a nuclear reactor as the source of heat. A jet engine, where they would suck air in at the front, it would be exposed to the heat of the reactor, and then blast it out the back. Of course, it was abandoned because the air coming out of the back was hideously radioactive. But I guess if you're in World War III and it's the final showdown, that's not a factor any longer. The question I have about the underwater drone being autonomous and being able to travel like 6,000 miles is I'm wondering, how the heck do they navigate? Because while it's underwater, it can't receive GPS signals. And I know there's such a thing as an inertial navigation system, but they have accumulating round-off errors over time. And all of our submarines, every once in a while, they have to come to the surface and basically get a position fix. I do know that supposedly the Russians have really good undersea maps. So maybe this device navigates by sonaring off of terrain features, but then that would give it away its position. It's something I'm going to have to really think about.
I just think it's amazing how you can launch a cruise missile with a small miniaturized nuclear reactor and it won't run out of fuel, Mike. It can fly around and look for other targets. That's incredible. I mean, that blows my mind.
Well, it's going to run out of fuel eventually. Probably it's going to be a while, but even our nuclear-powered submarines and aircraft carriers, every 3 to 5 years, they have to be put into dry dock and the reactors opened up and the fuel rods swapped out. Reactor control officers on these ships, they literally have to keep a very careful log about how much energy is being taken out of the reactor because that tells them how much is still left. It's sort of like having the gas gauge on your car. They have to keep a close eye on that.
I think one of the missile systems they should call it should be the FU system. Or how about the armor system, you know? But so good for them, Mike. I mean, Cold War 2.0, I guess, started, huh? Now.
Well, basically, Putin has taken the gloves off. I think he's finally got fed up with all this talk about the U.S. coming to whip Russia's ass. And he basically stood up today and said, think very carefully about that. Now, I don't know how many of these new weapons he's got, whether they really live up to their claims. I'd like to have a lot more detailed information to do an evaluation on this stuff. Certainly, we know that with the existing established weaponry, they have almost as many nuclear warheads in service as the United States does, and the Russians are larger. So if there's just an exchange of the existing weaponry, both nations are going to be wiped out. But we know we've been hearing for a long time that Russia had been working on a reentry vehicle for an ICBM, nuclear ICBM, that was maneuverable. that would evade all of the U.S. existing anti-missile strategies.
The computer on board that thing got to be incredible, Mike. I mean, to do the calculations that quick and swerve and a piece of engineering, I think.
And well, believe it or not, believe it or not, the technology for maneuvering a cone-shaped object actually goes all the way back to the Mercury space program. And the idea was that you put the center of gravity slightly off to one side, so the vehicle would fly through the air at a slight angle, and of course it would push off in a direction. And all you have to do is roll in a different direction, and you change the direction it's moving. And, obviously the Russians are using the same technique and the same algorithms. Anyway, Dustin, got to let you go. Got to take a commercial break. Got another caller waiting on the line, and we'll be right back.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And before we go back to the phone lines here, remember when we were talking yesterday about Hope Hicks resigning from the White House? And I said it feels like there may be a shakeup. It's just hitting the wires. Apparently, the White House is going to replace H.R. McMaster as National Security Advisor as early as next month. Well, I guess that, well, in a move apparently orchestrated by Chief of Staff John Kelly and Defense Secretary James Mattis. So, yeah, more turmoil over there in the White House. Okay, let's go back to the telephones now. We're going to talk to Jeff in Toronto. Aloha, Jeff. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi there, Mike. Thanks a lot for taking my call. How are you doing today?
Doing fine.
Great. I just had an observation to make. It's about internet censorship. And
yes.
Prince William came out the other day saying that the internet has to be clamped down on. I like conservative shows on YouTube, and Mark Dice has gotten a strike on his channel, Alex Jones, The Goldfish Report, Dr. Jim Fetzer, all these shows. And I'm just trying to find basic raw information about the shooting in Florida. But it just appears as though if you just challenge the narrative, then you're going to get a strike, you're going to get pulled down right away. And they're using, like, harassment as an excuse. And I'm just wondering how much of this has to do with the repeal of the Smith-Mundt Act, which sort of allows propaganda to be used in the country when it was allowed to be used previous to that outside of the United States.
Well, it's still allowed to be used outside the United States of America. They just sort of took all the legal American citizens and said, you're all now to be treated like you're enemies of the state. The censorship is out there. Everybody's seeing it happen. Some of these social media platforms are now starting to go back and delete all the posts questioning the official story of Sandy Hook. And no doubt they're going to proceed on to people who question the official story of the Boston Marathon bombing. And who knows, at some point they might go after my website because I question the official verdict of suicide in the death of Vince Foster. But again, every time they do it, people are noticing. And they're paying attention. And as I've said many times before, the fastest way to bring down a dictatorship is to force them to act like one where everybody can see it.
Well, I agree. I think that's why they're shooting themselves in the foot, so to speak, because like when you try to do these internet searches or you're trying to find programs on YouTube, for example, just to try to get raw information about not just necessarily Florida, but other instances of shootings and that sort of thing. They're getting pulled down, so it just makes you question, you know, why are they doing it if they're, you know, evidently they're, if you look at these shows or you look at the narrative, they're not really being bullying. They're just actually questioning the narrative. So for them to actually go overboard and just to pull these shows down just for merely questioning a narrative makes you really think, or should make the public think, that there's something really going on here. And, you know, like, I forget the name of the shooter in Florida, but...
Nicholas Cruz. Like,
Nicholas Cruz, and one of the witnesses, though, was Hogg, was his name. You could see him.
David Hogg.
YouTube.
Yeah, he's the crisis actor.
His father's
former FBI. His father now currently works for a company that creates simulations for shooting events, and Hogg's mother is a VIP at CNN. That's why he's getting all this airtime.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Jeff, we got to let you go. We got to do a station break. We'll be back after these few words with more news and more phone calls. So stay tuned.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.